We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
Good morning and welcome to Focus. This is our morning talk show. My name is David Inge, and we're glad to have you with us. And we're also very happy to have you here back on the program once again. The man we like to call our chef in residence, his name is Doyle Moore. And for a long time now, he's been stopping by on a regular basis, and we talk about food and cooking, and it goes way back. This is our 30th anniversary year for the show, Focus. We've been on the air for 30 years. And it goes way back to the beginning, and in the beginning when we first started doing the show, our phone hookup wouldn't let us have phone guests on the show. So we always had to have a person in the studio. So we always were having to think about, all right, now who can we talk to? What can we do? One day somebody, and I don't remember who it was, said, well, maybe you could do a show. Well, it was Grace, actually, that recommended you as a guest. But I'm just saying, I don't know whose wild idea was to try to do something about cooking.
I don't know.
Anyway, I don't know if Mrs. Inge had something to do with it. Somebody said, well, maybe you can do a cooking show. And then it was, who's going to be the guest? And it was, in fact, Grace Babacani. And she said, I'll tell you the guy that you need to have. This guy I know named Doyle Moore. And we called Doyle, and he said, well, that might be kind of interesting, although I'm not. He said something like, well, how exactly do you do a cooking show on the radio? And we said, well, we'll figure it out.
So I remember asking, do I have to sizzle like
yes,
bacon?
Yes, exactly. You did. You said, yes. We're going to make the sound of sizzling bacon. And we said, well, we'll give it a shot, see how it goes. So now, 30 years later, we're still doing it. So the way we do this is that he hatches some sort of a topic, and usually it has to do with something that he's just been making lately. And so that is how we landed on pie.
Again.
But I think that that's a good thing because, as I said in talking about the program, I said it was a kitchen mystery, and that's the way I feel about it. My experience is I have not tried to make a pie crust in a long time. I just could not make one to save my soul, and so I just said, oh, fine. I just gave up. I said, I'm not even going to try anymore. But clearly there are secrets here, and if you know a couple of things, then you'll have a better chance of having things come out. So questions welcome, particularly if somebody wants to call in and tell us about a favorite pie that they have. Or maybe you have a trick, how you do crust, something that you do that you'd say, if you do it like this, you'll get a good result. Tell us about it. We're always looking for tips and tricks and little individual things that people do. However it is that you're doing is different from your neighbors or your friends or whoever. So that's it, 333-9455. Toll free 800-222-9455 and email will-talk@illinois.edu. So your sister was here.
My sister
and
was here.
You were making pie.
Yes, she's an avid cooker, but more than that, she helps young people in 4-H. She's being a farm girl, even at her extended age, she still is working with 4-H kids. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the pride that she has is, oh, well, she just taught this young boy to make a pie. And the first pie he put in the fair, blue ribbon. So and she's very good about she's very casual about the cooking technique. It's just, and I think that's probably the real main hint is that don't fret it, don't overwork it, don't do more than you think you should. Stop before you think that you get to a particular point. But then something that she kind of sprung on me this time, which surprised me a lot, but I should have been prepared because I remember her doing it at Christmas time, because I was with her at Christmas time in South Carolina. I never saw a more meager situation for her to prepare a pie. There was really no board or nothing. They were just kind of the edge of a sink. And the niece didn't have a rolling pin. And so Frances found kind of a thing that you use to make pizza with. It's only about 6 inches wide with a roller on it, like a paint roller.
Oh, yeah.
And so she was using that and the side of the and was making the crust. And I'm thinking, Frances, what on earth are you doing? And the crust kept getting thinner and thinner and thinner until really you could see through it. And she said, well, that's what I want. She's putting the crust together. I mean, it was so casual, you couldn't believe it was happening. And I always thought about that because, yes, the crust came out, and it was very, very thin, and she was very, very happy, and everybody who ate it was very happy, and I was just sort of stunned. So that's kind of where the re-mystery started.
Well, it's like the old joke about getting to Carnegie Hall. I think you have to practice. I think that you have to. It can't, you know, you can't make a pie every 2 years. Now, I kind of to have the feel of pastry, and definitely pastry is a different animal from anything else. To have a feel for it, I kind of think that you have to do it. But I think that what you say is true. And I'm thinking back to my, you know, my ill-fated experiences. I worried at it. I worked it too much. I messed around with it too much. You can't.
Well, if you do that, you release the gluten. It gets tough. That's all there is to it. So quit it.
Yeah. All right.
Stop.
All right. You just kind of have to do.
Right.
And everything, and everything as cold as you can keep everything. That's what you want to do it.
Then we have a couple of new things to do with it anyway.
Well, I have some callers. We have
yay,
some callers.
Hooray.
So let's go right at it and start with somebody in Urbana, line one. Hello.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hi. Well, I just found out, I heard you just used the magic word gluten.
Yes.
I just found out 2 weeks ago that I'm gluten intolerant.
Oh, my.
I am an avid pie eater. I'd like to see a recipe for a good pie crust that doesn't use any wheat or any sort of wheat or any product that's got gluten in it.
I was afraid that would, I puzzled on that myself because I asked that question of myself. Well, wait a minute, if all this fuss is about releasing the gluten in the pie crust, what about people who are gluten intolerant? Now I know there are many people listening today who have an answer to that question. I just don't have an answer as to what you use in place of, other than maybe not in. Probably in making things that don't have crusts, you could have fillings. And wait, well, let's see. I'll kind of go back in my mind here. There are, you know, the pie as we know it in America is strictly an American object with two crusts, and the pie came to us from cooking in England, where they used deep dishes and then put a crust over the top, and that was all there was to it. So the origin of a pie was not two crusts. And so let's do away with the bottom crust and then put it in a pudding basin, you know, and then they put a crust on top. But there are some crumbles, and that's another big English thing is crumbles and brown Betty and all those other words that would not use a wheat flour source that you could make a good fruit based something and put it in a shallow dish or even a deep dish and maybe put crumbles on top and you would have something that you would be able to eat and enjoy as if it were a pie. But that's the only suggestion I can make, but maybe somebody else has some ideas.
Well, I hope somebody comes up with some ideas and submits them today since you're on this topic.
Good. Well, we're here.
All right.
Thank you for calling.
There's the challenge. If somebody out there has a recipe, you can give us a call. You certainly, as you say, it may be not what you're looking for, but you can do custard, you can do creme brulee, you can do something that has something like you might put in a pie. But it's something that's made in a dish, and there's no crust. So at least you can enjoy the filling part of it.
Well,
without the crust.
Back to sister, yeah. we were making a key lime pie, which came out of a conversation while we were sitting there. She says, "Do you remember when another sister and she were traveling around the South?" She says, "And all we did was to order key lime pie everywhere we went." She said, "It is so." So I said, "Well, why don't we? Let's make a key lime pie." So we did, and the crust in this case was to take graham crackers and crumble them up in butter and all that sort of thing. And so she liked, and I got a new recipe, in which I'm going to share with people today, mm-hmm. that lowers the fat content of a key lime pie very, very drastically. You know, it's quite good. In fact, it's so good I've made two in the last 2 weeks. And her response was, you know, I would like this without a crust. I think she saw it in little pudding dishes and then without a crust because she liked the filling so much. Mm-hmm. So I suppose the first answer to get rid of the problem is get rid of the crust.
Well, that's what I've told this story before. We've talked about this story before about my wife, who's really fond of pumpkin pie, and we like pumpkin pie in our house. But she said, you know, she really doesn't need the crust, so she was looking for a pumpkin pie without crust. And then I think maybe the last time we talked about this, so I Googled that and realized there are 100,000, you get 100,000 hits. There are a lot of ways to take the filling that you would use,
yes.
to make a pumpkin pie and make it in some way that does not require the crust. So there's really no reason to have that.
Other than tradition.
Crust, yeah. And well, and also that somebody who really knows how to make pie crust, a really good homemade pie crust, is just, it's like magic.
All I can do is, of course, you can guess how much pie crust I've made pie crust over and over and over and over, and I'm pleased with them and I'm satisfied with them somewhat, but they also make my brain go crazy because I'm doing the same thing you're doing. Like, now don't do this and don't do that, and don't, I can't be casual with it. So I go to the regular pie crust. Well, here came sister again. She took one of my rolled up pie crust and again rolled it out so thin that she got both the top and the bottom from the same
crust
out of one little crust. She brought that thing down so thin, and her point was,
it didn't tear.
It didn't. No, and I don't know why. And she was patching, and she grabbed scraps. And I thought, no. You can't be that casual about just pick up a scrap and lay it down and roll it out so it rolls in. What happened to all that business about very carefully take your scraps and put them, pat them, and no. There she was, just rolling away. I love it because the pie was, she was very happy with it, and so did the people who ate it.
Okay.
I'll talk more about that pie.
Well, that's the
proof. It was a puzzle.
All right. Let's talk with somebody else here in Charleston. Line number one. Hello.
Hi. I lost the connection. Ernie in Charleston, like Doyle, I'm turning 70 and retired art teacher. Anyway, the question was more about just, I make lots of cookies. I gave up on pie crust, and I'm sure everybody has asked you the question, but the simplest basic pie crust.
Yes.
And I empathize with the other fellow that just called in, you know, about pie crust for him, but the basic simplest thing is what?
One and one half cups of all-purpose flour,
right?
One stick of butter and 2 tablespoons of butter. One stick and 2 tablespoons of butter, and I mix that in the Cuisinart. Now I've watched some Cuisinart people make crusts this last week, and again they're so casual. Make sure the butter is very, very cold, and then also when you put in the liquids, make sure the liquid is cold, which gives me another point to jump into. The latest fashion is not to use water, because water is what releases the glutens in the flour anyway. And so America's Test Kitchen proposes 2 tablespoons of vodka. And I know that sounds crazy, like well, wait, what do you mean? And the thing is that vodka does not dissolve the same thing that water dissolves. Therefore, you don't have that problem with the crust, and you will get a flaky, tender crust. And it's the inclusion of 2 tablespoons of vodka. I suppose if you were in a martini mood, you could put some gin in, but vodka doesn't
flavor. Well, vodka doesn't have any flavor.
Doesn't really over-flavor it. Yeah. But you do these things rather rapidly, but not overworked. And the problem of working with the pie crust is that everyone wants to it's like biscuit dough. You know, you want to knead it over and over and over. No. The less you touch it, the better it is. Then one thing is to let the pie dough hydrate, because it takes a little bit of time for it to catch up with you. You can't just quickly toss it out and go ahead and roll it out. Although there is one that's made with oil that you put between 2 pieces of paper and roll it out right away. And there are people who swear by that particular crust, but I don't deal with that. But back again to the I like using the Cuisinart because zip, it's done. But make sure the butter is very, very cold, because that is the function of the butter, is to lie there in cold lumps and then melt, and then that makes flakes in between the pie crust. So that's one thing to watch. And the other one is don't mess with it too much with your hands, because your hands are warm and they melt it. And so the less fussing you can do with it. But it's very, very simple. So it was 1.5 cups of flour, 1 stick of butter, 2 tablespoons extra of butter. And then I believe this is a Carolyn Gunter recipe that I've had for years and years and years. And she used, I think, 6 tablespoons of water. But I would cut that down and use the 2 tablespoons of vodka. And then if you have to, I wouldn't load it up with vodka if it isn't sticking right. But that's the start.
Yeah. And then so you put that in the processor and you just pulse it.
Yeah.
To get it to what they call it. People know what it means, the cornmeal stage.
One or the size of peas, and they're both wrong every time they say it, and it makes me furious because I can't get mine to that. It's to another point, but yeah. it works. And then I let it roll itself up into a ball, but you can't do that. It only just as quickly as it makes into a ball. Don't let it sit there and whirl around for a while, because that technique is going to toughen it up.
Yeah.
So just long enough till it gathers into a ball, and then take it out, flatten it, put it in the ice box, leave it, yeah. and then roll it out carefully, quickly, and cool.
So then what you want is that you want the melting of the butter to occur once it's in the oven.
In the oven,
that's
yes.
when you want
yep.
it to, yep. to start melting, because yep. that's the way you get the flakiness, because somehow
right.
it makes you these little, the butter melts, and so you get these little layers of butter and...
So you can
wow.
see why I was absolutely climbing the wall when Francis was smashing it out so thin. I just don't know, except it worked.
Except it works. Well, it's a skill. Do not, like they say in the commercials, do not attempt this at home unless you're a professional. Doyle Moore is here with us. He's here on the first Wednesday of every month. We talk about cooking. We always have fun. He picks some sort of topic. And as I explained at the beginning, it's often, you know, something that he's been doing. And he's told us the story here about his sister was visiting. She's a champion pie crust maker. And so they were making some pie. And maybe you have a pie story to tell us, or you have a good recipe to share, or maybe you have some secret that you say, look, if you do it like this, you'll be okay. 333-9455. Toll free, 800-222-9455. And if you would like to send us an email, you may do that as well. Will-talk, W-Y-L-L-talk, at illinois.edu. And I think we have somebody in Charleston, I believe, on line number one. Hello. Their caller? Nope. Okay. How about, was this on line four? Okay. How about Paris, line four? No. Well, I don't know what's going on with their phone system.
Well, we've got
here.
Red lights.
We do have red lights, and we have somebody, looks like they're trying to call in. Well, let me give you the number again, 833-9455. That's for Champaign-Urbana. Toll-free, 800-222-9455. So if it would be a long-distance call, use that one. And then there's the email, too, if you want to do that. That's will-talk@illinois.edu. And I think we're trying to get some people lined up here. And, okay, now we're going to try Paris and line number two. And hello.
Good morning.
Hi. I'm not knowing what that was all about, but we got you now.
I like to never got through the second time. It rang and rang and rang and nothing happened.
Oh, well. Well, anyway, you're on now. Anyways, so.
You was talking about pie crust.
Yeah.
And I made pies for a job that I worked in. We kind of did a little delicatessen thing for a while at Thanksgiving and Christmas. And the lady that I worked with gave me a never-fail pie crust recipe.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the best thing. Doyle was talking about not working with your pieces and working it to death. And this is a recipe that you can work to death. It's very forgiving.
Oh, my.
And you can just gather your pieces up, and if you bugger it up, roll it out the first time, you just roll it out and start all over again. It's great pie crust for beginners. That's what I usually give it to beginners.
Uh-huh.
So they don't get discouraged. And it's 4 cups of all-purpose flour and 1 3/4 cups of Crisco shortening. I know that's a bad thing, but I still love it. I don't care.
No, Crisco's very good.
I love it.
Yes.
And then you work that together until it's crumbly. And then, and a teaspoon and a half of salt. And I usually add a little bit of sugar to it because I like my pie dough just a little bit sweet.
Uh-huh.
I'll add a tablespoon of sugar, a couple of tablespoons just to whatever I like. And then you take a half a cup of ice water and 1 egg and a tablespoon of vinegar. And you
mix that real well.
Add that to your pie crust and just work it. And I'm telling you, it makes the best pie crust. It's always flaky. You can't bugger it up. It's just, it's a wonderful, wonderful recipe, and I've used it ever since. And I learned the old school way with my mom and had some mighty pitiful pie crust before I got this recipe.
Now, that's a whole egg.
A whole egg.
A whole egg and a tablespoon of vinegar.
Uh-huh.
That's
ice water.
That's some of your secrets. Right there. Yes. There's something about the vinegar. I haven't really located what is happening with that, but yes, the addition of vinegar is very specific.
Yes. Yep. Yes. Yeah. So I thought maybe everybody'd like to try it because it is just the best recipe. And
4 cups of flour, 1 3/4 cups of Crisco,
yep.
Salt, 2 tablespoons of sugar, a half a cup of ice water, 1 egg, and a tablespoon of vinegar.
That'd be it.
Yay! Hooray!
Thank you.
Well,
yes.
Thank you very much. Okay. Well, that's it. Maybe I'll try that one myself because, as the caller said, that's a good one for beginners. She always gives that to beginners, and she says it will not fail. So there you are, ladies and gentlemen. There's your no-fail recipe. We still don't have one for people who can't have gluten. I don't know if we're going to be able to solve that one.
That may show up.
We have that. All right. Very good. We're going to just go right on to, Charleston, I do believe, line number 3. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Ernie in Charleston. I was cut off. I'm out of my farm.
And I'm sorry.
Cell phone stuff.
Okay.
But I guess it was all solved. She just answered. You answered all my questions about pie crust. And I know you never get down to Charleston, but I'm having an art opening tomorrow at the Paper Cafe, a little gallery in Charleston.
Oh, yes.
So you're invited. But
good.
I know you never get down here, but
I have been there.
I'd love to meet you sometime. So.
All right. Well, thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks. Wonderful show, of course.
Well,
always.
Okay. Well, thanks very
love
much.
You do. Bye.
I appreciate that. We're at about our midpoint here, and we are happy to have as our guest Doyle Moore. And we do this every month on the first Wednesday. And he said this time around, well, he'd like to talk about pie. So give us a call if maybe you have a good recipe. Maybe you would like to share your crust making secret, your pie crust secret, because that's really anybody can make the filling part, the crust part. Now,
we've got
to
talk about fillings, too.
Oh, okay.
All right. Yeah.
And we have some more folks here. So Palatine would be next, line number 1. Hello.
Hi. I just wanted to say that recipe that was just given.
Yes.
One, I grew up, and my mom was making that for years. It was delicious. Then we found out she had high cholesterol. So here's the recipe for those who possibly can't eat that because of cholesterol.
Yes.
With oil, and I know you mentioned it before.
Yes.
But we've been making this oil recipe now for years, and people compliment us on it, you know, without even knowing whether it's what it is. But it's half a cup of oil instead of
The Crisco.
The other. And this is the one where I'm wondering, though, what you were saying about the water. You add either a fourth of a cup of cold milk or water to that oil.
Uh-huh.
I usually add the water, and it seems to be okay. Now, maybe it'd be better, but and then just 2 cups flour, 1.5 teaspoons salt. So you just have four things there. I've done it so much, it's not difficult for me at all, but I do say it has to be moist enough. It has to really look moist but not sticky, and then I use the wax paper.
Oh, you do put that up between two between two wax papers.
Wax paper. And that really helps. I don't think I could do it without the wax paper.
Well,
if
I don't either.
Don't attempt it.
Well, Saran wrap.
Well, the wax seems to work the best.
The wax does work better, but yeah, two big sheets.
Then you can just lift it off the peel it off the wax.
Peel it off of one and flap it down on and it is ready to go right away.
Yes.
And you don't let that sit in the refrigerator
I don't know. I never have.
Well, because the oil and the water are soaking up the flour rather quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the hydration that you let it sit for.
But hopefully, mothers will keep teaching their daughters and so forth these pie recipes.
Well, yes.
When my brother married his wife, she was from the city. She'd never made a pie, and my mom taught her how to make pies, and she was real interested, and she kept doing it. And now she had four daughters, and she taught them how to make pies. And just think, you know, it's an art, and it'll be a lost art if, you know, people, well, they can buy the pies, but they're so expensive. It really isn't that hard if you keep practicing, you noticed, and it isn't that hard, and people are so pleased with when you have pie. You know,
Exactly what was in my mind about this is that, hey, let's think some more about pie, because you always sort of fall back on it. It's always something that you want to have, and it's always so great when you do it.
Right, and I grew up in the 4-H too, and it was pastry in your meals, and we made pies, and at that time, I know I really think the best pie is probably the one that woman mentioned. I have that recipe too with the Crisco. But for those who this is good. I mean, the oil crust is still good, and it just depends on what you can eat. So I thought I'd share that.
Well, that is very good. Thank you very much.
Uh-huh.
All right, thank you. We're talking this morning with a man we like to call our chef in residence, Doyle Moore. It's our monthly show on cooking, and we're talking about pie. So maybe you have a recipe, you have the secret to great crust you will share with us. We have some other callers we'll get to in just a moment. Right now, though, we have to take a short break. This is Focus.
Hi, I'm Kevin Kelly. Imagine a marching band with a generous helping of Moulin Rouge, a splatter of Pirates of the Caribbean, and a dash of Rocky Horror. That's one person's description of the March 4th marching band, who will play in Bloomington Thursday night. I'll talk with band leader John Averill and with Milt Scott of the Decatur Choral Group, Opus 24, on the Wednesday edition of Live and Local. Join me weekdays from noon to 1 on FM 90.9.
This is Focus. I'm David Inge. We're here weekday mornings, and we have 10 different topics on our program in the second hour today. Our guest is Deborah Fallows. She's trained as a linguist. She is the wife of journalist Jim Fallows, and so they've spent a lot of time living different places around the world. They spent several years living in China, and she, in her new book, Dreaming in Chinese, writes about that experience and about the experience of trying to learn Mandarin and the ways that learning the language helped her understand the place. So we'll talk with her in the second hour today. Tomorrow morning, Celeste Quinn will be hosting the show in the 11 o'clock hour. And that's our monthly show on computers, something that we built into the schedule so that there'll be a regular opportunity to ask computer questions. And there are plenty of times when you get confused and you're not quite sure how to fix problems. Peter Kimball will be her guest. He's a computer-assisted instructor specialist with the Center for Teaching Excellence at the U of I, so computer problems. And then Friday at 10 o'clock, we'll talk with Adam Hochschild. Some people will know him for a very good book that he wrote about the history of the Congo, King Leopold's War. And he has a new book out now that's a history of the First World War. And we'll be talking about that Friday. You can see the schedule for all of this week. You can look ahead to see what we're doing next week. You can listen to past programs by going to our website, which is WILL.illinois.edu. This morning on the show, the guest is Doyle Moore, the man we call our chef in residence. He's here every month on the first Wednesday. We've been doing this for a long time. We talk about cooking, and he always picks a topic, sometimes based on what he's been up to lately. And so he said, hey, I've been making some pie, so let's talk about pie and see if we can get people's recipes. We've got a couple of good ones here, particularly from a caller who said, this, if you think you can't make pie crust, try this, and it will work for you. No fail. And so we have a number of callers here, and we'll get right back to it. And who are we going to talk to next? How about Orland Park? No. How about Decatur, line number three? No, this is Cloverdale, Indiana. How about that, line number three? Go ahead.
Hi. I'm an organic chemist, and I really don't like the hydrogenated fats, although I think the fats really do well in pie crust. So the Amish over here in Indiana, they all use lard.
Oh, yes, yes.
I mean, I think in terms of health benefits, that if you're going to use a big, heavy dose of fat, it's probably better to just go ahead and use animal fat rather than the hydrogenated vegetable oils.
I agree with you. I don't have a supply of lard. Well, maybe I do.
Come to Indiana. All you got to do is, they've got lard in almost every little store.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And I think that's probably better for you. That's
very traditional, and it is interesting that there has been less fuss about lard than there used to be.
Well, and the trans fatty acids are turning out to be pretty negative, pretty nasty.
Yes,
stuff.
Yes.
And that's how those things turn hard, is because the double bonds in the fatty acids get turned from cis to trans. Okay, that's enough chemistry. very much.
All right. Well, thank you for the call. Well, I'm sure this has come up when we've talked about this before, that I think that there are some people, particularly, you know, depending on when and where you was raised, who would say you have to have lard.
Well,
we've
gone through a long period of don't use lard,
yeah.
and so I'll give a couple more points to that. I mean, I have been to some people's house, and it's a matter of eating. Oh, this is so good. The crust is so good. I use lard. Okay. And so there is an increased use in lard. I would do lard and butter. Mm-hmm. Butter has such a nice flavor. Mm-hmm. But lard does exactly what you want it to do, and I don't know that you have to be so careful with melting it in your hand. It might be an easier thing to use, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I have not made a lard crust for a long time, but I know how can be done, and it does taste good. But everyone was so anxious about it, I just threw it away.
Okay. Well, if people want to experiment with that, they can. Let's go to line number one, and I guess that would be Champagne. Is that right? Yes, line number one in Champagne. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, I was going to say, if you like to use wax paper to roll out your pie crust, you need to save your cereal box liners because they end up being wider than the wax paper.
Oh, interesting.
And it's
yes.
Easier to do with, and you can just slit them down the center seam and, you know, reduce, reuse, recycle.
That's very good.
That's very clever. I like that.
Yeah, I have a drawer full of them. Also, we had an old neighbor when I was growing up that would come over and eat my mother's pie, and he would never ask how she made the crust until he was done.
Oh, yes, yes.
So he had heart issues. He's like, I used lard. Well, I don't need another piece. Good show. Thank you so much.
Right. Yes, that's
Thank
good.
You. Thank you very much. All right. I guess maybe how about Robinson, I think, would be the next. And line number two. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
I have a pie crust recipe, which is very, very old. Also, only 5 ingredients and really, really quick to make. And my mother made them, and I learned how to make them from my mother.
Yes.
She was born in 1914. It's called a spry water whip method.
Oh.
And if you, anybody can remember spry,
I can.
But what I use is, and I think the fellow that called about the chemistry would be interested. I use, it's called Spectrum, S-P-E-C-T-R-U-M.
Yes.
It's organic, all vegetable shortening, non-hydrogenated, with 0 grams of trans fat.
Hmm. All right.
And I've used that for, as soon as it came out, 3 or 4 years ago. But anyway, my recipe is 3/4 cup of spry, or whatever you want to use, and 1/4 cup of boiling water.
Wow.
A tablespoon of milk. Am I going too fast?
No.
Okay. Put the spry in a mixing bowl and add the boiling water and milk. And it says whip with a fork, but I always just use a mixer until smooth. And then you add 2 cups of flour.
2 cups of flour, yes. All-purpose flour?
Yes. Sifted, it says. And a teaspoon of salt.
One little teaspoon. And you stir
quickly.
Wow, that's pretty direct, isn't it?
And it's delicious. I mean, I make wonderful pies, and so does my mother.
Now, the boiling water is going to melt the spry right away, isn't it?
Right. Well, not exactly. You have to whip it so that the water blends with the with the shortening. You know, it doesn't melt it immediately. And when you whip it, it becomes more like, say, frosting or something. I mean, it's
thick, but it's not
runny.
Yes.
It doesn't melt it at all. You have to really work at it.
That's neat to pay attention to.
Well, it is. You know, I even have a book from Spry, you know.
Yeah.
You don't remember when they quit making it.
No, I don't remember when, but I do know the name. I don't know that I ever bought Spry, but I, boy, when you said it, I clicked. I said, "Yes, indeed, I know that." Yeah. I think it was much like Crisco.
Yes, I think, you know, that was the following product was the Crisco, but I just still call it Spry because that's the name of it. That's who invented it.
I like that.
But
that's
I really recommend this organic all-vegetable shortening,
Spectrum,
not hydrogenated.
Spectrum oil.
And it's very good.
Yes. Well, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you. We will continue. And the next person that we'll be talking to, I do believe, is in Champaign and line number 3. Hello.
Hi. I don't make pie crust. I don't like to make pie crust. I'm not very good at it.
Yes.
But I do make it once a year for a strawberry rhubarb pie. But I heard the man ask about the gluten-free pie.
Yes, indeed.
Right. I have a mother-in-law who has to always have gluten-free and makes great pie crust. So I was searching through my recipes to see which ones I had of hers.
Yes.
And I'm not quite sure, but what I can tell, I have one that's from the Gluten-Free Gourmet. And then I have one that's from, actually some mix. I think it's from the gluten-free website.
Uh-huh.
A mix that I buy, because with fiber I have to do it. I just buy the mix. I don't bother. But what I do know is, because she's told me this, because I can't figure out how to make her pie crust either, is that, number one, she uses vinegar and she uses eggs.
Oh, yes.
And also that she doesn't use wax paper, because I tried it that way and it didn't work. That you have to use saran wrap with the gluten-free stuff. So those are the only tips I know. I've got the recipes, but I think you could probably just go online and find different ones. I can't tell you what's the best. I just know those are the two tips that she told me.
That's it. Gluten-free research.
Right. Yeah. Anyway, so that's all I know. Thanks a lot.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Well, now I have gone. I had to go and look up Spry. According to the font of all knowledge, Wikipedia, yes, Spry was made by Lever Brothers. They started making it in 1936 to compete with Crisco. And apparently they stopped making it sometime in the 70s, although it says Spry vegetable shortening is still widely available in Cyprus. where it's still manufactured by a division of Unilever. So there you have it. And apparently in their ads, their mascot was a character, an advertising character named Aunt Jenny. Do you remember Aunt Jenny?
She lived
across the street from Betty Crocker, I guess.
I think you're right.
Yeah, all right. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Questions, comments, give us a call here. We got about 10 minutes or a little bit less. The next caller up is in Robinson, and that's line number 4, the toll-free line. Hello.
Hello, Doyle.
Yes.
I used to run a quote-unquote gourmet restaurant in California years ago, and using the first young woman's recipe of egg and vinegar.
Oh, yes.
The advantage to me of that was it could be made once in multiples, the spare leftovers, and I had to do it 6 times a week, is to make hamburger patties out of the leftovers, wrap them in wax paper, keep them in a refrigerator
yes.
up to a week.
Wow.
And take some out as needed. And another beautiful advantage is that it can be made so thin and pliable that it's very easy to make a lattice crust.
Yes.
People raved about how thin the pie crust was.
I find that a real curiosity because I never thought to worry about that. But sister has made me so careful to no, must be thinner. And that's why she's teaching all of her kids. And, of course, they're all winning prizes off of her pies.
Another advantage that hasn't been mentioned is that I used an old-fashioned wooden rolling pin.
Yes.
Encased in a stocking net.
Oh, with that, bones, yes. Yes.
Which kept it from sticking to the pin.
Right.
That's enough for now.
I hadn't remembered the covers on a rolling pin. That's good.
All right. Well, thank you.
Well, thank you.
So
thank
now you. We've been doing an awful lot of crust conversation here, and I think you really wanted to give a recipe.
Oh, I wanted to talk about something. This is a new revelation to me. Mm-hmm. I wanted to make apple pie. Well, mm-hmm. So you make apple pie like all your friends tell you to make apple pie. And they never satisfied me. I don't know what other people did, but mine didn't seem to. Maybe I cooked them too fast. Maybe I cooked them too high or too short a time. Whatever it was, it didn't seem to be right. Well, I came across, and this is only within the last couple. I think I've made this in the last 3 weeks, where you take some of the apple, and chop it up. And cook it with sugar. Cook sugar with the apple. Mm-hmm. And so you have this caramelizing that you're doing. You cook it with that. Then you toss the rest of the apples in after it's kind of gone good. And then start it cooking a little bit. Then you put all of that into the pie. And I thought, gee, that made a totally different pie. The apples were all cooked when it was done because the added time made a lot of difference. And then I came across, then again, with sister, we wanted to make this gooseberry pie. Well, I just happened to have gooseberries in the freezer, but they also had the stems on them. So we had to sit there and pick the stems off. And that took an hour and a half, the two of us, to pick enough of the, it just won't, they're so teeny weeny.
Well, they're so little.
They are so little and teeny weeny. And anyway, the recipe that I used for that was a Marcia Adams recipe, and she said take a cup of the gooseberries, chop them up, and then put the sugar with it. And the same thing, you know, putting the sugar with some chopped up, and you sort of make this mash then you put the rest of the berries in it, and somehow that all fits together, and the juiciness of the sugar syrup that you're making seems to work. So I had these two experiences of pre-cooking the fruit before it was put in. I'm going to pursue that a little more because because although I like the idea of, oh, just take this fresh fruit and drop it on, and you know, well, are you making a clafouti or what? You know, who knows what it's going to end up being. But I have always been disappointed that the stuff didn't seem to be cooked right, and I'm going to pursue this bit of making a syrup with the sugars you're going to use and everything, let that cook, and then cook the pie just a little bit. And that pleased me very much. That was my first revelation. However, let me share this new recipe I've got right here for the key lime pie. This is real quick. The filling it's kind of weird, but it sure slows the calories down from a regular key lime pie has 445 calories and 22 grams of fat and 14 of saturated. This recipe will give you 307 calories and only 9 degrees of fat and 5 degrees of saturated fat, 5 grams of saturated fat. But it involves gelatin. And you put lime juice and the gelatin. I've been trying to find a gelatin in squares, but I use the Knox, and then let the gelatin soften. And it says to microwave the mixture until it's bubbly. Well, I microwaved it for about a minute, and it dissolves in quick. Then in the food processor, put in condensed fat-free sweetened condensed milk. And a half a cup of Greek yogurt, and some cream cheese. Now the cream cheese you get by it in an 8-ounce packet. Cut the 8-ounce packet in half and use only 4 ounces of that cream cheese. Mm-hmm. So it's cream cheese and yogurt and the condensed milk, and that's and then. Vanilla and vanilla and that's and a lime juice. And I can use lime juice, or I can use the key lime juice, or you can buy key limes now and you need about 16 or 18 key limes to make enough juice. That amount of juice is 3/4 of a cup. Wow, what a mixture that was. Yogurt and gelatin and cream cheese. Cut all the fat content way down, and it's really quite delicious. And I've got one piece left. I'm going to go home and eat it. But that's rather quick. You can we have the recipe here if anyone wants to know the new reduced fat key lime pie. And you don't have to bake it. I mean, it's unbaked.
So it's a refrigerator
pie, and. You can do what Frances decides she wants to do, and leave the crust, forget the crust, and put it in little custard cups. So that is, it makes it very, very easy.
And that's a big difference in the amount of fat.
A lot of difference from 445 down to 307.
Yeah, you know? Lower calories and a lot less fat.
And I thought, this is gonna end up being a blah blah blah. Well, it's not. And you can buy key lime juice. It hides away from the juices, but near somewhere, and I always find it there. And then there is lime juice that comes in a container that is pretty tasty too, but the key lime is a little bit tarter and a little bit sour.
Well, I'm sure that I have had what it was purported to be key lime pie. Some people might say, well, you really have to go to South Florida
to
or something. You
got to
get a key lime.
Yeah.
And that somehow that those, a lime, there's a difference between just the lime you go to the store and you buy a lime and the key lime. I'm not exactly sure what, I know the key lime is smaller.
They're very tiny. They're sharper and they grow, I think that they came from Mexico. That's how they sort of got up into Florida. And they were very handy to grow in Florida. You can buy key limes. I think you buy them more easily at Meijer's. A huge sack of key limes for $2, and of course they're handy to have for gin and tonics as well. My friends do allow me to use key limes for gin and tonics. But other than that, but the key lime juice, it's guaranteed to be a Florida made product, and so it's probably good key limes. I like making that pie because I do like a. I remember when I first learned about a pie that you made with sweet condensed milk and lime and juice. Only it was a lemon pie. It was lemon juice, and oh my gosh, I couldn't believe it. I thought, you know, where's all the cooking and all the heating up and making the pudding and all that sort of stuff? But the sweetened sugar fat free. Sweetened condensed milk is a product that I like Eagle brand, but in this town you can get about four different brands of that, and I keep.
And it comes in a little can,
Small can, yeah. And it only takes one can. That and the 3/4 of a cup of juice will make the key lime pie. But then the addition of yogurt, and I've been making my own yogurt, of course, and I let it drain a little bit longer, and it makes the Greek yogurt as thick and heavy as you want it. Mm-hmm. So I use that, and the yogurt that I make, I don't let sit so long that it gets sour, so it doesn't add any acid to that. So I enjoyed making that, and I will continue to make it, and I like it.
All right. Well, that's it. We're done.
Everybody is off making
pie now. So
I hope so.
Well, I'm thinking about it.
I'm going to go home and eat pie.
All right, he's going home and eat. Don't sigh. Have pie. Doyle Moore, the man we'd like to call our chef in residence. He's here monthly on the first Wednesday and 10 o'clock hour. We'll talk about food and cooking and always have a great time. Thank you very much.
You bet. Here. Just remember, cook your gooseberries and your apples before you put them in the pie.
All right.
You'll love it.